welcome to episode 22 of Another Wikipedia Weekly, The ArbCom Follies. This is Darova, your host for the day. I'm here with Awedawit, Mitch Azinia, and Shoemaker's Holiday. Would you like to say hello, Awedawit?
Hello.
Mitch?
Hey.
Shoe?
Hello.
So, we are here to discuss events with the Arbitration Committee. We are awaiting a follow-up statement from FT2 and a follow-up statement from the committee. We're not sure whether they'll be making separate statements or not. Jimbo Wales and several members of the committee have posted requesting a little bit of time. They say they are very active in discussions privately right now and are attempting to resolve the current worries. And let's go ahead. Awedawit, I understand you are doing a research right now.
Right. Actually, this is a very interesting time for this to unfold for me because I'm working with somebody else on a paper on justice on Wikipedia. So obviously one of the areas we've looked at is the arbitration committee, and for it to have a bit of an issue in the middle of us writing our papers, of course, interesting. We'll have a sort of, you know, while it's happening section of our paper.
If I can offer a bit of analysis here. The Arbitration Committee was first instituted in the spring of 2004 after discussions in 2003. And during Wikipedia's earliest days, the only person who had the right to site ban was Jimbo Wales. By 2003, the site was growing too much. That was too much for one fellow to keep on top of all by himself. And so ArbCom got devised and implemented. And the idea was that that would take some of the responsibility from Jimbo's shoulders. The concept of community banning did not enter policy until summer of 2005. And the form that it entered in terms of basically unanimous decision of the administrators not to undo an indefinite block was very much an outgrowth of the notion that site banning is something that we very seldom do.
Yeah, I actually have a question. That's a narrative I frequently heard been told about ArbCom, that, you know, Jimbo was getting overwhelmed and therefore we needed to have this group of people to take the responsibility and the, you know, sort of overwhelming work away from him. Was there a feeling that one person shouldn't have all that responsibility and that's it would be better to have it as a group? Or was it really just a sort of practical move? Because, of course, it is interesting to change it from one person to a group.
Right. Well, that predates me a little bit. I didn't join the site myself until October 2005. So when this particular part was unfolding, I was not yet a Wikipedian. I've seen it the same as you by reading past files and also by talking to people who were active at that time, some of whom have retired. And the idea of taking power away from Jimbo, that Jimbo shouldn't really have all of that, that seems to be a more recent development since he stepped down as head of the foundation in a formal sense. That
was my impression as well, but again, it's an impression, and it's difficult, really, to figure out.
During the, you know, it's coming close on 3 years now that I've been with Wikipedia. I've seen a change in the consensus of Jimbo Wales' role. When I first joined, Jimbo was, you know, beyond ArbCom. If ArbCom couldn't handle it, it still got passed to Jimbo. There's still a separate category under banned users, banned by Jimbo Wales. And Jimbo could undo ArbCom. He still retains the theoretical ability to undo or to dissolve ArbCom. Do you remember, have you seen where he made a statement on that?
Yes, and I believe it's quoted on the request for comment as well, isn't it?
About as often as the Queen would dissolve Parliament. But
yeah,
theoretically, he retains the right to do that. Yeah, it's been a much more recent development that, and some of what I've seen in that has been private dialogue. That, you know, I guess you could say at this point he's more of an elder statesman than the final stop. And, you know, there are some serious concerns. If Jimbo Wales gets hit by a truck, what happens to the site? You know, eventually it needs to become more independent. We're right now, and I think for at least half a year, possibly longer, we've been seeing some strains here that from 2003-2004, when the arbitration committee was first set up, until now, Wikipedia has grown enormously. It has become much, much more public. The community has taken over roles that were previously exclusively held by ArbCom, and ArbCom gets it, to paraphrase what some of the arbitrators have told me, I don't want to call them out by name, but ArbCom winds up with the hardest cases, with the stuff that doesn't get solved anywhere else, and the stuff that it was being asked to do 3 or 4 years ago was generally much simpler than what it's got now. I'll say that in their, you know, in their defense. So their role has shifted considerably, but there has not been a formal review or a formal reexamination of their mandate. And so, in my opinion, they've been examining it and reassessing it very actively themselves. But in
out of necessity, perhaps?
Out of necessity and out of the loop, as far as the rest of the community is concerned. They are moving in directions that might be very clear to them, but are not clear to the rest of the community and come across as major surprises. If they were doing it in a manner that was largely successful and was consistent, then I think it would be going down better than it is. But, and I don't want to name people who are not here to defend themselves, but you now have the publication of a case, apparently it was a case, where a very established individual who actually is, I think his bona fides are well enough known, a medical doctor in real life, was sanctioned without any opportunity to even know that a case was contemplated against him, much less underway. Meanwhile, in a public and open case, an editor who has a very, very long block history requested additional time in order to present a defense and was granted it and has been blocked repeatedly during this time that he requested. And has, you know, the comparison between the two individuals might break down at some point. But I think that unless you're a strong partisan to one case or the other, it's pretty easy to step back and say, well, why is this one individual with a much longer block history and, you know, previously named in an arbitration case and previously sanctioned, why is this individual being granted a month or more? And just because he asked for it in order to defend himself, while somebody who may have problems and so forth is not even granted an open case.
There's also the problem, of course, that in a few cases at the beginning of the year, they failed to provide time when time was asked for to provide evidence, and this resulted in major problems. So it may be a reaction against that.
End of last year, beginning of this year.
Yes. That does not excuse the Orange Marlin case, but...
Well, the committee's own parameters are to allow at least a week for evidence before proceeding to voting. And if there's some compelling reason why they need to go faster than that, I've got no problem with it.
By most of the cases that were rushed to vote at the beginning of the year, there was no particularly compelling reason. In many cases, it was either something that just happened with a... had not gone through any dispute resolution and was very short. And in another case, it was a two-month-old block.
If I might say various types of problems seems to be tying into ArbCom has a fairly broad mandate, and they're exercising some of their special abilities within the mandate in situations where they're not articulating a compelling reason to do so. You can see that common thread in early closures and early decisions in the establishment of, what was that, the footnoted quotes case where they established a whole new notice board and a whole new process that was governance level as opposed to dispute resolution level. And they did not have a dialogue with the community about their need for doing so. They announced it by fiat. And they really stepped over to the very edge of their mandate in order to do that, if not beyond it.
And, of course, in the homeopathy case was delayed for 3 months because they were trying to add on a sourcing education board to the case. And in the end...
Are you certain that they delayed something in order to add something? I mean, that cause and effect that you're drawing there, are you sure?
Well, everything revolving around users was sorted and had a consensus to support within about a month. It then stopped for 2 months while debate over the sourcing education board occurred. So, certainly if you look at what was being discussed, there was, after the first month, nothing but the sourcing education board was being discussed, at least online.
I do want to say that correlation is not necessarily causation. I mean, sometimes I've had arbitrators privately express to me that they were holding off in order to double check something. But just when it correlates and nobody's saying, yes, this is the reason, let's be a little bit conservative, especially while we're recording about asserting that kind of thing. So,
I got a question.
Yeah.
Just in your opinion, do you think the archons become really pick and choose what they're going to work on at once? Because with the Highways 2 case, which I was sort of involved in, it took them 2 months to finish the case, and everyone was going nuts that they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing. That archon won't do this. They're focusing on other cases. They're opening new cases without them.
That's pretty much par for the course with archon. 2 months is a little bit longer than the average case, but I've been in cases that dragged on for 3 months. And editors were pretty much going batty.
The homeopathy case is in its fourth month, I believe.
But do you think? My question was: do you think archons become really picky and choosy with what cases they're doing?
They do seem to be selecting ones that they think they can use to explore deep policy rather than just need to be done because of a problem user.
Well, you know, I'd be a little bit hesitant to attribute motive. Unless we had at least one arbitrator around to talk about that.
Well, there are well-known rumors that the homeopathy case was accepted only to set up to discuss sourcing.
I can tell you from experience that well-known rumors do not become more true by being repeated.
I was told by people who I would think know that they heard that from an arbitrator. I don't know if that is true.
One of the ways to help figure this out would actually be to read every arbitration case from the beginning of ARBCOM till now and figure out in what ways have their decisions changed. Because you can draw conclusions. Are they really addressing these deep policy issues from their decisions, you know, in a different way than they have been before? Now, I have not made it through all the arbitration cases because there are so many. But, I mean, I think that's one way that you can start to figure out the sort of trajectory of arbitration decisions rather than having to rely on what maybe even, you know, a rumor, if it's true, it says, because it's, you know, one person's opinion from inside the arbitration committee.